2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Now, I began a series of lessons a while back. Last Sunday, I was kind of off of that subject and taught on 1 John chapter 4, where it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." And we talked about what does that mean, and are we allowed to ask of what spirit that is of, and what's this? And we live in the time when people say, "Have you received the Christmas spirit?" We entertained those thoughts last week, so I guess that was my Christmas input. We still have to focus on the Holy Spirit of God and the things of God and the finished work of Christ as the business of the church. So this morning, we'll turn our attentions back to the old thoughts of godly leadership and godly direction for the church in the new year. Maybe a little ahead of schedule. Maybe you say, "I don't want to hear that till the first of the year." That'll be here so fast, you won't know what hit you. Amen. So if you didn't have or don't have your old syllabus, it said godly leadership on it. There are a few on the front pew here, and if we need more, obviously Miss Maggie will print those for us. If somebody did desire one, you can, yeah, brother, there are a few up here. If somebody needs one, they can have one. I would be on point number 7, and it said a godly leader has a personal commitment to personal growth. Now, I wanted to talk about that a little bit, and not only to just the leaders in the church, but as we learned a few weeks ago, everybody has the potential to be somebody's leader somewhere along the line. And we would ever teach our young people how to be godly leaders, whether it be a leader in a home, a leader in a class, a leader at work. These are good principles. And we were in the midst of giving you 10 principles for godly leadership. And we had gotten down to number 7, where it speaks to us personally as leaders. And it speaks to anyone coming along that may be a leader of any kind that is a child of God. So the scripture that I had you turn to was 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And a lot of times we impute this to mean just to the new convert. But it's not that at all. It's far-reaching. It's the holy word of God, and it speaks to good leadership. And I believe every good leader, whether they be the President of the United States or whatever position you could name, would want to be here if they're a child of God. Verse 18 in 2 Peter 3, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Three little things there. We have a responsibility to grow. We have a responsibility to find that in the grace of God. And we have a responsibility to give the glory to God to keep the perspective right if we're going to be any kind of a godly leader, whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're a foreman at work, whether you're a team leader at work, no matter where you're at, whether you're a pastor, evangelist, a missionary, we want to be godly in our approach when we lead. And we had said weeks before, everybody will lead somebody. Amen. So when you think about this, those three thoughts are found in the verse. But grow in grace. Grow. The word grow implies that you and I ought to grow. Nobody ever reaches a pinnacle. "Well, I'm done growing. I'm done." No one. The best leader that you could have, the best general that you could find, the best teacher you could find, if they're good at what they do, they're going to continue to grow in that field. A scientist is never happy with the thing he found today. He wants to find the next thing the next day. Amen. We had the privilege to work for a man whose name I cannot call. If Jeremiah was here, he would remember. But I remember this about him. He was a Jew. He was retired. He had a fancy home up in the ritzier part of Cincinnati. We had the privilege to go in and do some repair work for him. And he introduced us Goldstein. His name was Dr. Goldstein. There we go. Who says old people don't trigger and it comes back once in a while? Amen. He had invented the nicotine patch. He's the guy that figured it out. He was not a doctor like an MD in the medical field. He was a research scientist and worked for the pharmaceutical companies in and around Cincinnati as a freelance doctor in finding out new things. And he invented the nicotine patch that's helped just about everybody here get off of cigarettes. Well, I probably misspoke there. I've never had one myself. But I thought, what a unique thing. And you peel the thing off, stick it on your arm, and it helps you quit smoking by feeding you a little. Because of that invention, later he has the patent on it. And then he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't done as a leader in technology. He went on, and now they have the morphine patch, and they have the other patches that you can wear to do certain things, to put in different things in your body without taking them orally or injecting. It's a little patch. Say, who come up with that? Some scientist who was a leader in his field who wasn't satisfied with, well, I'm going to stop right here. I've done my thing for society. As an old man, he still goes to the lab and researches every day to say why. He wants to grow in his knowledge. Now, that's a worldly illustration, but it should prove my point. As the leadership here in our church, we should continue to want to grow in the things of God. And the phrase I gave you, grow, grace, and glory, are found in that verse. But grow, so no matter who you are and what level you are, you're to grow. And then how should you grow? You should grow by grace. Grace is, now we've stepped out of the worldly realm into the spiritual realm. Grace is something God gives you that no man can actually put his finger on. But saved individuals and people that know Christ know it's real and it works. For by grace are ye saved. Someone said God's riches at Christ's expense because he died at Calvary. Grace. So if leadership here should grow, it'll have to grow by grace, and that's the grace of God. Grace comes through faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we teach the book, and we believe the book, and we embrace the Spirit of God that we talked about last week, who is an author, if you please, a proprietor, if you please, an implanter, if you please, of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of God that this grace is wrapped up in. So as leadership, you never reach the top. You want to learn something new every day. You want to get closer to God every day. You say, what is that? That's godly leadership. Grow in grace and in knowledge. Knowledge comes from the Scriptures and the things of God and the principles and precepts and statutes that are set forth in this book. The world has its list of standards. The world has its ideas. The world has its dogmas. But the Word of God has principles that are based in holiness and righteousness that can gird up the mind of the believer. So as we grow in grace as leaders and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I have never met anyone that knows all there is to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. On the contrary, the books couldn't have held all the information we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it gives glory. To Him be glory. You know, the world, when they get educated, they give the glory to man and the praise to education and vain things, but not the child of God. The godly leader gives the glory to God. So to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I believe there's a formula in that verse for godly leadership. Grow by grace and give God the glory. It's right there. GGG. And it sure, to me, is helpful in wanting to learn more of my Savior. And I would say in Colossians chapter 3, if you turn to that passage, he says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." There's something about the word of God, the word of Christ. It's all wisdom and it can dwell in you. So we're to allow that. Watch it. Teaching and admonishing one another. And I like this verse. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. It's good when you're saved that you want to entertain the thoughts and the word of God in your heart. It's good when you're saved and you're driving down the road, peeling potatoes, doing the wash, painting the barn. Up from you don't even know where comes a song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And you stop and you say, why am I singing Amazing Grace? And then you say, well, thank God I'm singing Amazing Grace because of the Spirit of God that lives in me. And you give place and sing the next verse and the next verse. It might even make up a couple verses. Say, why? Because you're speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Maybe this time of the year, did you see all the verses that was in that song that we sang three verses of? I think we started with song number 3. I looked at that, the first Noel, and I knew we'd probably, for time and everything, we'd sing the first. But there's 6 verses of that. Somebody was feeling the Spirit of God when they wrote that, amen. And that's good. So a good leader has a song in his heart, and he wants to tell others and teach others. I'm in Colossians 3:16, but if you back up to Colossians 1:10, and he gives you the reason that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all, pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know that's a mouthful there? You know every leader can't do that? Do you know a lot of leaders fall short of leadership structure and leadership manifestations, and they're just like you and me. You say, well, what do we do about it? Well, we ever learn what God has to say, and we ever uphold the Lord, and we ever try to grow by grace and be better than we were. And we use this verse for new converts, but how often does it apply to the leadership in 1 Peter 2:2? As newborn babes, as. You always got to watch the word as and like in the Bible. He says, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word, they may grow thereby. You know what? It doesn't hurt any Christian, no matter what age they are, to have a little milk with that meat. And he says, the meat of the Word of God. You say, why? Because it helps us grow. Helps us grow. Peter has a lot to say. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, part of it, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. There's something about the Word of God and the grace of God that can settle you, especially with the responsibility of leading or being a leader. Godly leaders decide that personal growth, that's me, that's you, personal growth, will be a lifetime journey. I don't ever expect to get to the top of any pinnacle as a child of God. You say, why? Because I'm ever learning. Trying to learn more about the Scriptures, about God. So they choose, a good leader will choose to be constantly learning. And that's true. With a pastor, you call him the leader of the church, the pastor of the church. Guess what? He is ever studying, ever learning, ever giving himself to the Word of God in prayer. You say, why? So he can stay sharp and so he can grow and so that he can minister what God ministers to him. So a good leader chooses to be constantly learning, stretching, and progressing forward on every level in his life. You say, well, brother Phil, I'm just not good a good leader. You can develop a lot of folks aren't. But you develop those character traits. You develop those things that make you godly. As a result, Bible knowledge, wisdom, and understanding become a lifelong pursuit. And if you leave those out someplace, your pursuit in life will be a long, dusty trail. Amen. So make it a lifelong pursuit. A godly leader never stops desiring to grow. If you're leading in any capacity, if you're... we've got leaders all over the building here that lead in some capacity, someplace, in something that they do. We've got business owners. We've got people that run the home. We've got people that run businesses. We've got people that have ministries and they're over ministries. So let me say this. As a result, Bible knowledge, wisdom, and understanding become a lifelong pursuit in that endeavor for you to lead. It's a responsibility that comes with good leadership. A godly leader never stops desiring to grow, to reach his potential, and to enlarge his capacity for the Lord. Now, that's a lot of words. But if we lose the grip on that, there won't be anybody to lead. And I'm thinking, people put themselves in leadership positions once in a while, and God ordains it. But if they're not a good leader, people won't follow. Amen. Isn't it good? I still remember last week's message. Say, you do? Well, yeah. Say, what'd you do? I drew pictures. Well, it got a hold of me. It was being yoked up with the Lord. That was the gist of the message. But he had those illustrations in the message about the mules that run off to Versailles. If you've missed that, and so I'm drawing a mule there on my paper, I know you're thinking I'm crazy. Well, you're right about that. But I drew a mule there. All I had was a red ink pen. I did a pretty good job on the mule. And I'll tell you what, that mule is a picture of me. That mule's a picture of you. I mean, just an old jackass. And then I thought, you know, I like that blacklight stuff. I thought, in the blacklight of that, if I could just have the Lord show up there with his hand on that mule. Brother, you get yoked up with Jesus, you can do some plowing now for the Lord. I got a big old field back there and a vanishing point where it looks like the field's so long. Remember when you was a kid and you went out there and you hoed whatever you hoed, and corn, tobacco, whatever it was, you didn't think you was ever going to get done. Well, life is like that. And he preached one of those kind of messages last Sunday. And it spoke to me as a leader needs to be hooked up with the Lord, yoked up with the Lord, or you ain't going to get anything done right for God. So here in the lesson, when I think about a godly leader makes the following things a regular priority in life, and I just listed a few. And if you're a teacher, a deacon, a song leader, an evangelist, a pastor, or if you're a mom or if you're a dad, or if you're 16 and over, the primaries, you see what I'm saying? Somebody's leading somewhere. Here's a list of things that will help you be a good leader. Number one, Bible reading, study, meditation, and memorization. You say, what am I going to memorize? Try the scriptures. Amen. Did you, somewhere along the line, Brother Tom has memorized some scripture. And he can quote it. And he don't hardly ever miss a lick because I check him out. I can check him out here. And he don't mind. But somewhere along the line, he's given himself to memorize scripture. That's a good trait. And so memorization of the scripture, reading of the scriptures, studying of the scriptures are all things that will help you be a good leader. And I don't care what you're leading in the church. Say, oh, I don't have to do that. I don't stand before people and teach. And that's for you guys to teach. No, it's for anybody that's going to be a good teacher. Let me give you another one. Reading biographies of great lives and Christians. They'll help you understand what others went through. We might not have it so bad when you read about C.T. Studd and what's that guy that lost his life? Saints down in by the Indians shot him to death with arrows, 105 arrows in 1968. We read the book, unbelievable. Reading Christian books with a biblical message. We've got writers in this church that write books with biblical messages. Those will help you in leadership. Say, oh, I just read the Bible. You can read anything you want. Bible in one hand, book in the other. Just weigh it out with the Word of God. But you need to occupy some of your time with reading. It ain't all gun smoke now. Listening to godly music that edifies the heart. Now, you can get you on some stuff that will energize the flesh. I understand that. We all like a little of that. But get some music that speaks to the soul. Godly stuff. That edifies the heart. Now, these are things that will help you as leaders. Listen to preaching and teaching, both at church and privately. It's not unusual for me. Take my phone and go to Sermons Audio, and we're on Sermons Audio, and we have all of our messages on there. But I don't listen to Brother Tom and Brother Jeremiah and people that preach here. Brother Danley's on there. I listen to these old-timers because I want to know how it was back then. I get old Bob Jones III on there, and they got some of them old ratty-sounding tapes, and I listen to him say, if, you know, do right, tell the stars to fall, do right. Just do right. And he preached that message. And yeah, we've all heard about it, but it does your heart good to hear something like that. If you're going to be a spiritual leader, I'll get Jack Hiles on there and he'll talk about fresh oil. A preacher gets up and preach the same old thing over and over again. He needs some fresh oil. Needs to get alone with God and pour his heart out to God and get some fresh. And he'll go to preaching like that. And man, it just does something for me. Makes me want to, man, I'm going to study next week. Now, I know how hard pastoring is because Sunday just keeps on coming and keeps on coming and keeps on coming. You say, well, they didn't get what I said last week anyway. I'll preach that one over again. I'll change the illustrations and I'll tell a couple of different stories. Is that clock right? Man, I am out of time. Listen to preaching and teaching both at church and privately. Jeremiah and I be riding down the road and we'll turn somebody on that's dead and gone, been gone for a long time. Some old missionary back in the 20s, Paris Reedhead. Say, well, with a name like that, who? Well, I know he was Alliance, but I'll tell you what, that guy could think, he could preach, he went to the mission field, and it'll do your heart good as a leader to hear him. Listen to Paul Chappell. We're in the age where you can hear that and you can develop yourself as a leader by listening to other men speak. Okay, participating in growth-oriented activities, camps and conferences. You wonder, well, our pastor's gone again. He went to another conference. You better let him go. Say, why? Where do you think he gets fed? If he can't plug in someplace once in a while and listen to somebody else do it, it's hard on him. And we live in the age where he can. So, godly leaders value growth more than they value personal pleasure and fun. I don't want to say that again. Well, I fished all week. I guess I'll just open my mouth and let her fly. Yeah. And everybody will know it, too. You can tell when a man of God's been alone with God. And you can tell when he's rehashing it and shooting from the hip. Say, how do you know all that? Well, I've been there and done some of that. You'd be better off to stay in the book. For a leader, growth is fun. And it is. We love to learn and ever learn. A leader gives his mind and heart to strengthening influences, not depleting influences. Now, I made a list of depleting influences. Now, I gave you a list of good character traits that helps leadership, but let me give you a list that tears leadership up. Excessive TV watching. Oh, there's hundreds in the vestibule. They need to hear this. Come on in, folks. excessive TV watching will mess you up when it comes to the things of God. Oh, I just watch them old black and whites. Yeah, and I can just about quote some of that Maverick stuff and that Cheyenne Bodie stuff and some of that Roy Rogers stuff. Huh? Say, I'll probably quote more lines of that and not miss a word than I can the Scripture. Ooh. You know what? If you're going to preach a good message on Sunday night, you go home Sunday morning after church and watch the NFL and you get into that thing and, you know, your team wins and you're eating popcorn and drinking pop and eating candy and fruitcake and all that, whatever you do, you won't be worth much when you come to church at night. You won't be thinking about God. You see what I'm saying? So excessive TV watching will deplete, it's a depleting influence in your life as a leader. You need to watch that. Excessive video game playing. Man, I don't like video games. I don't have a video game. I don't play video games. But I've seen adults move their thumbs faster than the average brain can move. I don't know what they're doing. But excessive video game playing for the child of God will get you out of hand if you've got a leadership position. Excessive movie watching. You may be a movie buff. Somebody say, oh, this guy or that guy's in that movie. I don't even know who they are. I quit watching some of that stuff back when the Lone Ranger and Tonto was doing their thing. Excessive movie watching. If you're into the world's music and the world has its own music and you say, well, I just got to listen to that. I just got to plug it in. Man, and I like it loud. I pulled up to this black Charger sitting in a gas station and that car, I'm not kidding you, was going, boom, boom, boom. What is going on over there? And these two dudes got out of their pants hanging about down to here, bogging hats on, and it's 65 degrees. And they walked in, they come back, and he opened the trunk, and there in that trunk, there was no room for the trunk in a Charger, a brand new Charger. It was speakers bigger than that. Gold, with lightning flashing across. And when he opened that thing up, they were jumping that high. I'd have to have a bogging hat on, too, with the earplugs on. And I guess he was into it. I wasn't into it. But excessive music, worldly music, the world's friendship. Say, well, my friends are all in the world. You better watch that if you're a leader in the house of God or you're supposed to be a leader in spiritual things in your church or your Sunday school, because if you're running with the wrong crowd, it's a matter of time till that rubs off or influences those people that follow you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You following me? The world's entertainment forms. Ball games. You can develop. These are depleting influences in a leader's, they need to watch. Strengthening influences, as I said, and I recap and I'll quit. Bible reading and study, private prayer life, godly Christian music, sermons and lessons, Christian books and biographies, Christian retreats, camps and conferences, and godly friends. What do you do with the extra time you have available in a week? What do you do with it? Do you vegetate or do you grow? It is your choice. But leaders choose to grow. I don't have time for any more. There's hundreds in the vestibule. It's raining like crazy. The valet's not working today, obviously. So everybody will be drenched. But I'm hoping this next year our leadership steps up, becomes more spiritual, more godly. I'm hoping that I can do that as just a small-time helper here in the church. Pray for one another in those areas, and our pastor grows, and health stays good. That's my thought for the future. So I'm like, Brother Pastor, you have a word, or I'll pray, I'm done. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for church. Now bless as the pastor comes, as they sing, as they lead the music, as the preaching is preached, as the offering is given. May souls be saved. And Father, may people here want to follow the leadership that you've ordained. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.